Well, like I said, today is Father's Day, and so we always believe, traditional service, to preach a Father's Day message. So we're going to talk about the blessings of a father, both earthly and heavenly. You know, today as we celebrate Father's Day, we take time to honor the role of the fathers in our lives. But beyond the cards and the gifts, this is a moment to reflect on the profound blessings a father brings, and ultimately how every father on earth should reflect our perfect heavenly Father. You know, sadly, we live in a time where fatherless is widespread. The absence of a father leaves a painful gap, emotionally, spiritually, and even socially. God designed the family with a father at his head. Not to dominate, but to lead, love, and protect. The home functions best when a father is present and walking in his God-given role. You know, earthly fathers, there is a need for a loving presence. Proverbs 27:20, verse 7 says, "The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." Children are blessed when they see their father walk with integrity. They receive guidance, confidence, and moral direction. A father's presence gives a child a sense of security and identity. You know, a lot of things, I'm thinking about myself, I didn't learn how to be a father by my father telling me how to be a father. I learned how to be a father by my father showing me how to be a father. You know, it's important, you know, they say that actions speak louder than words, and I believe it's important for a father to be there for their kids. You know, it's a sad state. When I used to do youth ministry, I actually saw a statistic, and it says the average American father spends less than a minute a day of actually one-on-one, time with their child where they're not being bombarded by other things, you know, whether it's social media. Of course, at that time, social media didn't exist. You know, computers, you know, whatever. We should be there for our kids. And I think it's important not only to be there, but to be a godly example for our kids. You know, there is a tragedy of the fatherless. Studies and society alike confirm what scriptures already teaches. Children in fatherless homes are more likely to struggle emotionally, academically, and behaviorally. But beyond statistics, the emotional wound of missing a father can leave a child searching for belonging and love. You know, if you did grow up in a home or are growing up in a home where you feel like you're fatherless, there is a father to the fatherless, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them in training and admonition of the Lord." You know, this is God's command to earthly fathers not to be harsh and not to be absent, but to nurture and teach and to love. Just because you're at their home doesn't mean that you're nurturing and teaching and loving. You know, we need to be there for our kids, and I get it. You know, sometimes whenever we've had a long, hard day and we come home, especially when our kids are young, you know, they feel like a bother to us sometimes, you know, because they're just excited or whatever. But, you know, there's going to be times where you wish your kids were bothering you. You know, as you grow up and as you get older. We've been admonished to be a father to our kids. But I also, too, because we do have a fatherless generation, I do believe that we should be a father to other people's kids as well. You know, my dad actually, you know, by example, even when I was young, before I was in school or playing sports, my dad started coaching other kids. In fact, whenever we lived in Dallas, when I was, I can barely remember this, he used to coach 9-year-old track. All right, because my dad, obviously, if you ever heard him teach, he ran track. And then we moved to Oklahoma, and he went out and became a football coach for the junior high school. And in fact, it's interesting because my cousins, they were in junior high at the time, and some of their friends were on the football team where my dad coached. You know, my dad became a mentor to kids that don't have a father. And in fact, you know, even today, I'm sure the same with my sister, if you run into people from school, the first question they always ask, how's your dad doing? You know, my dad was always there for, he is always there. I shouldn't say he was. He's still alive, right? He is always there. I'm thinking was because, you know, this was when I was a kid. He was always there to be an example to other kids. You know, one of the things that really got me the most is growing up, obviously my dad was always there for me. And so whenever I became a father, I followed in his footsteps. So I coached basketball, baseball, football. I would have coached soccer, but none of my kids played soccer. But anyway, my dad did coach soccer once. He knows nothing about playing soccer. He barely knows what a soccer ball really is. But he decided to coach my fifth grade soccer team because here's what he said. He says, I know nothing about soccer. But he came to work and says, anyone know anything about soccer? Found out one of the Raymond Singers in band at the time, pastor now today, played on his high school. They were the state soccer champions. He says, now you're my assistant coach. And that's how he coached soccer. So he goes, I can motivate the kids. You teach them how to play the game because I have no clue. In fact, I bet you if you ask my dad, he probably still has no clue on anything about soccer. Except you kick a ball and you score a goal. That's all you do. And you stop them from scoring goals. So which ended up me becoming a goalkeeper. But anyway, so I followed the footsteps of my dad. I became a coach. And one of the most tear-jerking moments happened right here on this football field over here, coaching my kids' football team, the assistant coach there. We were going through a drill. A lot of the folks, most of you probably thought in football I probably was in the line because I'm a big guy or whatever. No, I was a wide receiver or a defensive back because I was skinny, just like I am today, skinny. But we were doing a drill where we had kids going out for passes, and then we had kids defending those kids going out for passes, and this one kid kept dropping the pass every time, and his dad was there watching. And so this last time, his dad kind of got over there and kind of got on to him a little bit, and the kid was crying, and so the kid behind him, what he said? He says, Dylan, I know, that you're a little upset, but at least your dad cares. My dad lives in California. I haven't seen him in 5 years. I wish he was here to yell at me. That just made me cry, thinking, this kid wish his dad was there to yell at him just because he wanted his dad's attention. And that's why I think it's important for us to be a father to the fatherless, to be an example, to go work in the nursery or the children's church or to work in the youth or to coach, be a coach. Because, there's so many people today that are growing up in fatherless houses. Now, here's the deal. If you have a kid, do you realize if you have a kid and you're a male, then you're a father? All right? Whether you're married to the mom or not, it's still your example to be there for the kid, to be there to help to raise that kid. Because I do believe that one of the reasons that we have a generation growing up the way they are is because they're a fatherless generation. They're looking for somebody to be there for them, and sometimes they find the wrong example. But you know what? If you are someone who did grow up or are growing up in a fatherless generation, we do have a Heavenly Father there for us. Now, our perfect role model is our Heavenly Father. Like I said, God is the Father of the fatherless. Psalm 68:5 says, a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. Even if our earthly fathers fail or are absent altogether, God steps in. He's not distant or uncaring. He is the Father we all need, loving, faithful, and present. You know, and so sometimes what we need to do is to wrap our loving arms around him. And then, you know, sometimes even as we get older, maybe we don't have our dads, you know, anymore. Maybe we don't have our dads around. He can be a father to us as well. You know, God's love is constant and sacrificial. Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." You know, the word Abba is deeply intimate. It's like saying daddy. It reminds us that God desires a close personal relationship with each of his children. You know, God, our Heavenly Father, desires a close relationship just like our earthly father desires a close relationship with our kids. And of course, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." No earthly father can match the sacrifice our Heavenly Father who gave up his son so we might be saved. His love for us is not based on performance, but grace. You know, it doesn't matter how bad of a person you've been, your Heavenly Father still loves you no matter what. Just like your earthly father should love you no matter what you've done. There's nothing my kids can do that would make me not love them. Now, there can be things my kids can do that can make me disappointing in them. But, I mean, there's nothing that they could do to make me not love them. You know, an earthly father, we should be reflecting the Heavenly Father. As fathers, we are called to reflect God's heart. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says this, "Imitate me just as I imitate Christ." Paul encouraged the believers to follow him as he followed Christ. Likewise, fathers should live in such a way that their children can say, "I see God in my dad." You know, I will say, actually growing up as a young child, I've often thought about this, that, you know, when we're growing up, I really never set out to please the Lord. That really wasn't ever my goal. My goal was to please my parents, to please my father and my mother. But by pleasing my parents, because I have an earthly, godly parents, but if I please my parents, I also please my Heavenly Father. And sometimes, you know, it's hard whenever we don't see our Heavenly Father, you know, day in, day out, you know, just because we pray to him, just because that we see our earthly father every day, or hopefully we do, or when they're in town, at least. Mine did travel quite a bit when I was younger, but you know, and that's the one thing too, is that I always knew that my dad was there if he could be. You know, even though he did travel, and so some of you, maybe you have to travel for work, and that's okay, but whenever you're there, you know, make sure you're there for your kids. In fact, it really, even though I am more mature, and, you know, I'm in my 50s, you know, last night it really tore me up that I couldn't be in Lawton, Oklahoma to watch my son race because I didn't want to get home at 4 in the morning and have to be preaching this morning. All right, because he got home at 4 in the morning because he raced in Lawton, Oklahoma last night. And, you know, not being there really tore me up. And, you know, the bad thing about it, we're so used to live stream stuff. Unfortunately, there was no live stream, so I didn't get to watch him race. And he didn't do as good as he would have done if I would have been there. I'm just kidding. You know, because me being there is very important to a team winning. That's why if anyone wants to give me $5,000 to go to the finals, tickets are expensive to go to watch OKC, but if I'm there, they're going to win. So anyway, just throwing that out there. You know, that was, you know, it's always good to be there with your kids. And, you know, as we get older, and that's one thing too, I mean, you know, I do really, you know, enjoy being there with both my father and my kids, you know, in different sports. And I know that my dad always made sacrifices. He'll talk about that. He would fly the red eye to be back to watch us play football. And, you know, my sister did ballet. We had to fly home. We were actually preaching some. I was with my dad to fly home for a ballet recital one time. So God still loves us, even though we had to go to, I'm just kidding. Ballet recital is kind of boring, so that's You know, that's, but, you know, I'm sure games are probably boring too to think. Anyway, let's talk about a godly father. A godly father is a father who is present. You know, Hebrews 13:5, the Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, a godly earthly father should be present, you know, there, and not just present, but present and you know, ready, willing, and able to talk to your kid and to be there with your kid, to help your kid, and different things. Now, you know, we should be there for our children. Be present, present-minded. Our Heavenly Father is always present for us. 24/7, 365, there's never a day or a time where your Heavenly Father is not present, ready, willing, and able to help you in every situation. You know, also a father should be patient. All right, Psalms 103:8 says this, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Now, some fathers need to work on those. The patience a little bit more than others. I know that I can be a little bit impatient, but I learned that from my father, who can be a little bit impatient as well. Actually, most of you probably don't know, because you don't know him like we know him. My grandfather, Brother Hagen, probably was the most impatient person in the world. In fact, he didn't like to wait for anything. So anyway, But he was patient when it came to his children, though. All right, you know. So just because you're impatient comes to some things, when it comes to your children, maybe you should be patient. Or right here it says, slow to anger. All right, you know, we should be patient. And you know, here's the thing. I mean, you know, God gave us these children, and unfortunately, sometimes, sometimes our children are just like us. And it makes us a little less patient. We're like, man, sometimes I'm like looking at my kids and I'm thinking, man, I felt sorry for my parents. God will. I know, I don't know how many times I heard my mom say, I'm going to pray the Lord's going to give you a kid just like you. I had three boys, or I have three boys, and they're all different, and some of them had test my patience, especially my middle son, Blake. He was test my patience probably more, and he laughed about it, too. So anyway, you know, sometimes, anyway, we'll go on. All right. A godly father is also a provider. You know, Philippians 4:19 says, "Our God shall supply all our need." A good godly father is a provider to his family, and you know, we put our family first. It doesn't matter. I know whenever me and my sister were young, we didn't realize it, that we didn't really have any money. You realize kids don't realize they don't have any money if they're not told they don't have any money. If they're not told, you know, well, just because we serve God, we don't have any money or things like that. So we didn't realize we didn't have a whole lot, but, you know, my parents did talk about, said the one thing that they would do is they would make sure that they were able to put clothes on us, because obviously whenever you grow, so they would make sure that we would have clothes for school and shoes for school and obviously some kind of food, and they would go without. I mean, that's just what you do. You do whatever you need to do in order to be provide, you know, for your home. Now, providing for your home doesn't mean that you have to provide all the luxury type situations, but being there to be a provider, it says that God shall supply all your need. You realize sometimes being a provider is not just a financial provider. Sometimes we just need a hug. Sometimes we just need somebody to listen. Sometimes we just need somebody to care, you know. And that's the thing. Our Heavenly Father is always a provider. He's there to care about whatever we need, whether it be physical, financial, spiritual, emotional, mental, whatever it might be. Our Heavenly Father is always there to provide it. You know, a godly father is also a protector. Psalms 91, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing of Psalms 91, but it says he should cover us with his feathers. It talks about all the things that our God is our protector. but we should also be an earthly protector as well to our family. You know, I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to protect our family. I mean, there's nothing that I wouldn't do to protect my family. You know, there's nothing that I wouldn't do or I wouldn't take. And lastly, a godly father should be a guide. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I believe that's Proverbs. So, you know, 3, 6. You know, our heavenly father should be our guide, but so should our earthly father. Should help guide the family in the direction that it needs to go. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, when it comes to a spiritual guide, sometimes the mother is more the spiritual guide, but the father should be the spiritual guide of the house. You know, as a father, that's our responsibility to guide our family spiritually and not the mom. And unfortunately, a lot of times, because the father does not take that thing, it's always the moms. I know growing up in my grandfather Tipton's church down in Garland, Texas, the amount of moms that would be there and the dads that wouldn't be in church were incredible. There's a lot of ladies that would be there with their kids, but the dads wouldn't come to church. And it's important for dads to be a spiritual guide. You know, and we don't realize it is that, you know, if we don't guide our kids when they're young, when they're old, they're not going to be guiding themselves the way they should be guiding. But we should be a spiritual guide. Once again, I do want to encourage all the fatherless and broken homes. If your father was absent, was hurtful, or simply no longer here, you're not forgotten. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God heals the wounds of the fatherless. He places the lonely in families. In Christ, you are fully accepted, fully loved, and never abandoned. You know, that is one thing, too. If you happen to be a family member, and you know that there happens to be, you know, people, you know, especially around here, you know, Rhema students that maybe have a father or a mother, but they're not here. Maybe some families could help adopt them. You know, I know in our house at Christmas time, we always have, I mean, all my life, as far as I remember, we've always had invited different folks to come enjoy Christmas dinner with us because they didn't have a family that was here in Tulsa with them. Maybe they had a family, but they happened not to be here. But if you know people who don't have families, you know, or things like that, we can reach out and be a surrogate family to those. Even, like I said, here we have a unique situation because we do have a college here. A lot of times they have family, but their family are not around. But you know what? Our Heavenly Father does love us, and we can do that. But also, once again, I do believe that we should be there to help people that maybe don't have earthly fathers that maybe their father happened to be absent. You know, I want to give a charge to the fathers today. Fathers, you matter. The world may downplay fatherhood, but God honors it. Your voice, your love, your leadership, these leave an eternal legacy. You know, I mean, my dad was the ultimate example, or is the ultimate example, of a father. Not only was he, you know, there for me, he's been there for his five grandchildren, all their events and things like that. In fact, you know, I think he's actually sad that they've all grown up and they're not really playing sports that much. And so the only thing he has to look forward to is Cameron's still racing. So, you know, because everybody else is growing up. But, you know, it is neat, though. I mean, I know Dad wants to get involved, play golf more with some of his grandkids. My kids aren't very good at golfing. My sister's kids are really good at golf. You know, my dad's terrible, so it doesn't matter. So, you know. He didn't lead us and show us how to play golf. That's one thing. He could coach a lot of stuff, but golf wasn't the one of those things that he was a good coach at. Even if he was a good coach at, I'm a bad listener. So, anyway, I can get the ball a long ways. Just knowing where it went is But the great thing about it is, you know, you get a little more walking in the woods, you know. So, you know, someone says, when you play golf, you mean go walking in the woods? And the great thing walking in the woods is you can find other golf balls that other people were too lazy to go after. So, you know, so anyway. Unfortunately, I lose the really good ones and I find the terrible ones that somebody else hit. But fathers, you do matter. You do leave a legacy for your kids, and it is important. Joshua 24:17 says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, we should lead our home towards God. Be the man of faith your children can follow. Let them see in you a glimpse of the Heavenly Father. You know, you realize that our earthly father is the only example we have of a Heavenly Father. And I have found out as I was talking to one individual, and they told me, it says, one of the reasons that they have trouble seeing a loving Heavenly Father is because they never saw a loving earthly father in their own father. And it really affected how they saw the Heavenly Father. And in fact, this one person told me that, you know, with my dad, there was always strings attached and everything. If I didn't do this, he's going to pull that away from me. So I always assume that my God would give and take away from me. But you see, our God loves us so much, he only gives to us. He doesn't take away from us. And, you know, but us, you know, we need to try as earthly fathers to be an example, as our Heavenly Father. I mean, try to do things. Now, I get it. We're not going to be perfect in every sense. And, you know, one thing I do remember, I remember one incident that happened that my dad was a little bit upset with me or whatever. I can't remember. And I was a long ways away, but he threw a basketball, and it hit me in the legs. It didn't really do anything, but what happened is it ended up tripping me, and I fell and scratched my knee, and then I was mad. But you know what? One of the first things my dad did was apologize. You know, and I think that, and I still remember that, you know, when he did something that he probably shouldn't have done, like, you know, and I'm saying he was way away from me. It wasn't like he, like, threw the basketball and hit me like some basketball coach did to me one time. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. Like, you can't do that in the day and age we live into. But I got hit in the back of the head with a basketball from a basketball coach one time because I wasn't listening. Serves me right. But he was quick to ask me to forgive him. And I think that we as fathers need to be like that. You know, when we make a mistake, you know, we can ask for forgiveness. And sometimes I know we're trying to be the macho man and we shouldn't have to, but, you know, I still remember that to this day. In conclusion, you know, the ultimate father's love. As we celebrate fathers today, let us honor our earthly fathers. Whether or not they've done well or not, doesn't matter. We should still honor them. You know what? If it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be here. No matter how bad of a job you maybe think that they did, you know what? You're alive today because of them. And, you know, we can still honor them for what they've done. You know, we can forgive them if they failed us. It doesn't matter. You know what? You only have a few years to be there to be with your dad. You might as well enjoy it and have a rekindle that relationship. We can thank God for his never-failing fatherhood because God's always our father no matter what. And then also we can encourage all fathers to rise up and reflect the love, leadership, and faithfulness of our Heavenly Father. You know, maybe we haven't always been the best example of a godly father, but we can change that. We can rise up and be a better example to our kids. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today. We thank you, first of all, for these wonderful fathers, that whether they're here in person or watching online, Father, we just thank you that you'll help them be the kind of father that they need to be to their children. Father God, help us to always be that that guide that we need to be. Help us to always be a guide to show them how much our Heavenly Father loves them. And we do pray for those that are living in a fatherless situation. Father, we thank you for helping other gentlemen to step up and be a mentor to these kids, Father. And Father God, we thank you that you'll be a father to the fatherless. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here, Father. And we thank you, Father, that today we honor each and every father that's here. And we thank you that we make a commitment to be a better person and a better father. But today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here in this room and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Whether your father taught you that you should be a Christian or maybe he didn't teach you, today is a day that you can please your Heavenly Father. Today is a day that you can ask Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your life. So if you're here this morning and you say, Craig, I've never been saved and I want to be saved this morning, lift your hand and we want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I know what it is to walk and to be a Christian, but I've turned my back and I went away and I want to come home today. If that's you want to rededicate your life to God today, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. I've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior in my life. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. I want to make sure that nobody leaves this place without knowing that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, I don't see any hands, but we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Oh, we have a hand? All right, there is a hand. Thank you. Let's all stand up. Amen. If anyone else wants to join this lady, whether you want to rededicate your life to God or whether you want to be saved for the first time, come down here and you can join her. Hallelujah. Jesus is waiting. The altar's still open if you want to join this one. Amen. Sometimes it takes somebody to break the ice. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you come down for rededication or did you say it the first time? Okay. All right, rededication. Amen. Well, you know what? God loves you. He loves you so much. And today's a special day for you. I want to ask you to lift one hand toward the Lord. Can you lift one hand? Or you can, both hands are fine. Right? I'm gonna hold you. Heavenly Father, what's your name? Anastasia. Father God, we thank you for Anastasia, Father. We thank you, Father, that she's making this commitment to rededicate herself to you, Father. Thank you for forgiving her for all our sins. We thank you, Father, from this day forward, Anastasia's life will be different. We thank you, Father, for everything you're doing in her life now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Anastasia, will you turn? This is Pastor Greg and Christy, his wife. Will you go with them for a special? They want to pray with you a little bit and make sure you got what you came for. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray for Heavenly Father, we thank you for Anastasia. We thank you for her life. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing for in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know what? I just thought about something. Anthony, tell about your special Father's Day present that happened to you. Give us a good testimony.
Well, praise the Lord. Today is my first Father's Day. Glory to God. Many of you know that our little boy was born at 1 pound and 8 ounces. And I just want to say thank you to everybody that we know the church was praying and everybody was praying. And he's home, 6 pounds. Lord, keeping me up all night. Some of y'all didn't tell me that I wasn't going to sleep much, but praise the Lord anyway. But yeah, so this is special. He's doing great. And the doctors just kept telling us, hey, we want you to know he was born at 24 weeks. And they kept saying, this boy is a miracle. So we're just thanking God today. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thank you for praying with us. Trey's home, and he has the best Father's Day ever. Amen. Amen. There's something we want to sing before we go.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I love by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. Who I am.
Amen. Well, if you're a first-time visitor, glad to have you today. Connection team is in the aisle. They want to take you back. We have a special gift we want to give to you real quickly. If you'll just go with them to the north lobby real fast, we'll do that. Of course, the way we dismiss, the pastors are headed to the different doors. Don't forget today to be sure to call, text your father if you can, amen, if he's still alive. And no matter what kind of example of a father he's been, you can tell happy Father's Day. God bless you guys. We'll see you back here tonight at 6 p.m. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.